Thank you, Pam. Have you ever wondered if Mary knew very much about that? She didn't. She couldn't. Hello? Oh, there we go. Just had to make sure it was me or that. Good to see everybody. This is a Christmas-looking crowd this morning. I know a crowd's probably not the right word to use. I should say congregation. That sounds much better, but you're a crowd to me. You're crowded, right? Isn't it good to be crowded? It is. A lot of things happening in December, so be patient. I said a lot of things happening in December. Be patient with each other and everybody, and especially in church work, because in church it gets more crowded than probably anywhere else. So let's be patient with each other and just come and worship. That's what we need to come to do. Just simplify the whole thing and just come to worship. And we're here to worship today. And let's see, don't forget, if you're going to Greenville on the 17th, on Sunday night, we probably need to get together on how many are going to be riding the bus, and if Stacy would kind of, I hate to put everything on you, Stacy, but if you'll kind of get that together so we know who's driving their own car and who's riding, we'll get everybody down there. I'm looking forward to that, and I hopefully if you didn't get on that list to go, that you have made a phone call to see if they have an extra ticket. I believe they did have some extra tickets. You probably wouldn't be sitting where that bunch is, but that's okay. We'd be in the same building, and you'd be hearing the same music. I think you would enjoy that. It's the first time we've ever done anything like that for a Christmas, and I just believe it's going to be really good. Okay, I believe we'll receive the offering right now if Chris and Kevin or Tom. Let's thank the Lord for this time. You know, on the 24th, we're going to be having the last service of this year, and it'll be Christmas time. And if you would, since it's his birthday, won't you do what we do about every year and just bring the Lord a gift other than your tithes and offerings? We've got a lot of things going. As you noticed when you came in, you saw a change in the building. And I want to commend Lynn and Jimmy and whoever did that. I don't know who did it, but it looks really good. It's going to be part of the Christmas program on the 24th. And if there's anything going on that you could be involved in, I say get involved. It's good to do other things other than just come to church together. Go out and do things together. Had a good day yesterday morning with the men at the Golden Corral. Had a lot of men there and a lot of good meeting, and the ladies had a good time last night. So when that happens, get involved with it, okay? Let's ask the Lord to bless this offering. Tom?
Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can give so much. Give it to us. Bless this service. Bless him as he sings, our pastor as he preaches. Lord, may we never forget. Unto us, a child. Unto us, a son. His name shall be called Jesus. He saved us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. It's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger hold. And it's still the greatest story ever told. A hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation to men as dull as stone. The glorious, greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger hold. And it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger hold. And it's still the greatest story ever told. And it's still the greatest story ever told.
We might need another chair. Do you want one for Addie? Okay. No. Well, you can hold it up there, but we're not turning that one on. The choir's singing carols, bells are ringing, streets are bright. It's Christmas all around me, so why is Christmas hard to find? December snow is falling down like I am to my knees. I could use some hope right now, 'cause right now hope is hard to see. Help me still believe. For God so loved this broken world, he sent his only son to a carpenter and a teenage girl to show us all his love. He left his home in heaven to make heaven my home. My Emmanuel is with me, and I'll never be alone. Down here my heart can't find much to believe in, but I still believe in Christmas. Whoa. I still believe in healing for the weary and the hurt, and in a world that's so divided, I still believe in peace on earth. I still believe that love is strong enough to conquer hate. And in a world that won't believe it, I still believe enough to say. For God so loved this broken world, he sent his only son to a carpenter and a teenage girl to show us all his love. He left his home. Down here my heart can't find much to believe in, but I still believe in Christmas. I still believe in Christmas. Oh, I still believe in Jesus, the name above all names, a Savior in a manger and a star that leads the way. Help us all believe. For God so loved this broken world, he sent his only son to a carpenter and a teenage girl to show us all his love. He left his home in heaven to make heaven. Down here my heart can't find much to believe in, but I still believe in Christmas. I still believe in Christmas.
Amen. That's good. That's good Christmas stuff. Appreciate those who sang. And now the kids will be leaving to go get ready for the next Sunday. Got to be back here for the kids program, right? Wouldn't be Christmas if you didn't come back for the kids program. Y'all don't look as good when the kids leave. But I'll make it work. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 34, and we'll read the first five verses of Psalm 34. Yes, sir. Amen. Did you get that? 88, did you say?
88 years old.
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked that is because the first person who got saved in the church where I was at before was 89 years old. That's a miracle. It's a huge miracle. Of course, the salvation of a soul is a miracle to us. It's not a miracle to God. It doesn't matter what the age is. If that person is touched by the Word of God and they repent and believe, they can be saved. I wouldn't put it off till you're on your deathbed to get saved, even though God can do it. We'll be praying. Y'all pray for that, will you? Okay, let's read the first five verses of Psalm 34. Here's what it says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Just pretend for a moment that you're writing this and saying this, okay? Turn it back on you. So I'll read it again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Let's bow our heads. We're going to ask the Lord to bless this message today and to carry it to each one of our hearts so that when we leave here, we don't leave the same way we came in the door. We leave closer to him. This is a worship time for each one. Lord, we thank you so much for another day to come and worship you. We thank you for another Christmas season where we pay more attention to our Savior than any other time of the year. And Lord, we just praise you for that time. I pray that we would get more into doing it year round, but Lord, we're thankful for Christmas time. We are. And we ask that everything that we do here at Liberty Fellowship Church, that it be done to glorify you in all ways. And for these requests of prayer, for that 88-year-old man who does not know your son as his Savior, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict him and convince him that he needs a Savior. And we'll thank you for it. And all the other requests of prayer that was given this morning, we ask you to intervene, and we're going to thank you for it all and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I am going to take you to Luke chapter 1, if you'll turn there now. I only read Psalm 34 to assure you that the Old Testament is a New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And we're going to see that. You see, David was singing a song. That's what he was doing in 34. He was singing a song. And in Luke chapter 1, we see people singing a song. not just Mary, her cousin was singing also. But let's look, if you will, at verse 39, and we'll read down to verse 55. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. That was Elizabeth singing. Did you hear the song? It was a song. It was a song. You may never sing a song verbally in your lifetime, vocally, where people can hear it. But I'll guarantee you there's been many times when the song was inside your heart. Don't know how Elizabeth did this. I do know she was singing, though. In verse 46, it says this, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done me, to me great things, and holy, holy is his name. How many of y'all love music? I'm not talking about the choir or special music in the church. Do you like music? Music has its place in life. I believe that. Now, I'm not going to get into the different types of music, okay? Because everybody in here would say, well, I like this and I like that. Now, I'm not getting there. I'm just saying, do you like music? You should. Because God gave us music. That's why he gave us the Psalms. The Psalms are the hymns that they sang to get ready for the worship service and the reading of the Word. When we come into this house, we have songs. It's not because we just want somebody to sing. I love those songs. Every one of those songs this morning were wonderful. And we have those so that you can already have heard what was in that song, and you get ready for the Word of God. And now we're ready for the Word of God, right? And that's what we're doing. So we all love music. We all do. But in Psalm 33, right next door to Psalm 34, by the way, it says this, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. I love to make loud noises. When I sing, I want to sing out where you can hear it. Why sing it if nobody's going to hear it, right? That's why he said, make a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. If the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, that should create a song. Because I watch you all when our kids are doing something here at the church, and I watch your faces. Inside you, there's a song created. Might not have a thing to do with the ones they're singing, but it's a song created because of the love you have for children and the feeling you have for what you're seeing and hearing. It creates a song. And it always has done that, and it'll always do that. I miss my friend Rusty this morning. Rusty was going to bring his guitar, and when I read Psalm 33, he was going to play on his guitar a Christmas song. Now, he's not out of it, and I hate that our phone is not up and this is not going out. Rusty, I asked Rusty to watch, and I was going to fill in the gap for him where he didn't. He just didn't feel good today. But y'all just tell him, okay, since we didn't set our phone up. By the way, let's don't ever do that again. Let's make sure that phone's set up. Would some of y'all take charge there? Make sure that phone's always set up. We got people out there who need to hear the service, and they're not going to be able to hear it tonight. We've gotten them used to it. Now we have to do that, okay? Say, yeah, we'll do it. Because, see, this is your church. And y'all are responsible to make sure that's done. So let's get it done, okay? Now I can go on with the message. Just had to throw that in there. Is that okay? If that upset anybody or bothered anybody, just say, I forgive you, Dan. Pam said it, so I'm good. If Pam says it, I'm always good. Anyway, in Psalm 33, he's talking about the instruments of music and a reason to play them and a reason to sing with them. I have a shirt, a Life is Good shirt, that says the music is not in the guitar. Would you agree with that? I've got a guitar laying there at the house that does not ever make a sound because it can't. Rusty gave it to me. It's in the case, and it's going to Sam, and Sam is going to get an invitation from Rusty to go out to his house and take music lessons. And I'm going to have a guitarist in the family. It doesn't matter what instrument you have laying around your house. It's not going to make any music until you get a hold of it, if you can play it. And if you can't, learn how or give it to somebody who will. Because an instrument needs to be played. Amen? I love to hear people make music. The group that was with us not long ago that had all that bluegrass sound, buddy, could they play those instruments? And you glorify God through playing of the instruments. And that's what he's doing here in Psalm 33. He's saying, if you have an instrument, use it. Now, an instrument is called an instrument for a reason. It is not the music. It's an instrument whereby the music can come. And if you are picking a guitar, your fingers and your mind and everything that's in you is going to pick the... If you're blowing a horn, you're going to do it from here, and that's going to come from your heart and your mind and what you've learned about the songs you're playing. So it's an instrument. And he says, make sure that these instruments of music and the songs come out. There were many people. In fact, I think in the Bible there's over 200 people who had their own special song. Did you know that? 200 people who had their own special song. Some of the people, I'll give you a little list of them here. Miriam, remember Miriam? Deborah, Hannah. Hannah, did you know Hannah had a song? Hannah can't sing, I don't think. I've never heard her. Can she sing? But she can. She can. Hannah sang. Elizabeth sang. We know we've already heard her song. Moses, did you know that Moses sang? Moses even led singing. Moses led the people of Israel in a song to the Lord about his triumphs, his victories in the Lord. That was his first song, by the way. He has become my salvation. That's in Exodus 15. That wasn't his great song, but that was a song that he sang. Did y'all know that Paul sang? Paul sang in 1 Corinthians. Did y'all know that Jesus sang? Jesus sang Psalm 116 and 118. We're told to sing in Colossians 3. I'm just giving you an idea here what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to sing. Now, the song of Moses, this was his Mac Daddy song, was Deuteronomy 32. And this was praises to God for his faithfulness to him and the power of God in his life. In Psalm 59, God desires that every one of you and me sings a song. Not asking that you do a special song in church. Not asking that you do a song in public at all. Just asking that you sing. And a song will come out in different ways. If you're making music inside of you, somebody's going to see it. They'll see it on your face. They'll hear it in your voice. They'll see it in your hands. Did you know our hands just normally move sometimes for different things that are happening? Do you know what I mean? Buddy likes that. Buddy talks with his hands a lot. That's what happens. That's why the Lord wants us to sing, because we're going to make some element in this whole world happier when we sing, when we make sure that people know how important the Lord is. Well, Elizabeth was singing her song about how Mary was blessed of God. Wonderful subject in the song. That last song that they sang, I want to hear that again before Christmas. Don't you? Because I want to hear it again. First time you hear a song like that, you just don't get it all. You need to hear it again. I want to hear that again because it's got a lot of stuff in it, good stuff in it. So Elizabeth was singing her song about how good God had blessed Mary. And at this particular time when they were singing, Gabriel, who, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, Gabriel had a horn too, didn't he? Now, I know that Michael, there are different archangels, and we know that Michael will sound the horn one day. But Gabriel also was a horn man. He came from God with a horn. He was going to play that horn because God intended for him to. But Gabriel was giving out announcements. He was making his announcements, and that could have been a song and what he was doing, because it had to do with how our lives are going to connect to Elizabeth and Mary. Your life don't just connect with them because we read about them in the Word of God. Our lives connect with them because they had a song and we have a song. That's how we connect. That's why when a choir gets up here and begins to sing, you have sopranos, you have altos, you have tenors, you have bass. When you hear one of those voices alone, it does not make the same sound as when they all four harmonize together. Does God know about harmonizing? He sure does. He can make Liberty Fellowship harmonize. But now to do that, you've got to do your part. If you're not an alto, be a soprano. I'm just using those words right now. I'm saying if we're going to work together, some of us are altos, some are sopranos, some bass, and some tenors, right? Whatever you do, your part will blend in and there will be some harmonizing in this congregation. God will take care of that. So Gabriel was making announcements. He went to Zechariah. Now, y'all know that Zechariah was a preacher, right? Well, he went to Zechariah and he was telling him that he and his wife would have a child. Now, he and his wife were like the story of Abraham and Sarah. They were old. They were old. Old people don't have children. Old people have passed their stage. And when I'm talking about old, I'm not talking about 30. Some of these 30 and 40-year-old people kill me when they say, I'm getting old. No, Zechariah was an old man. His wife was an old man. And they couldn't have children. She was barren, by the way, just to make it even worse. She was barren. Couldn't have a child. So here comes Gabriel to this older man and says to him, you and your wife are going to have a child. Well, he didn't believe God, and he's a man of God. Now, at that point in time, you have to understand him. Can we understand that a man didn't believe God? Because there's been times when you didn't believe God. Even when you prayed, God, I want you to heal my family member or my friend. And you, in the back of your mind, you're praying that those words, but are you really believing that he's going to do it? Well, Zechariah was a man who shared the word, but when God had told him what he'd do through Gabriel, he said, I don't know about this stuff now. Do you realize how old we are? Well, when he showed the signs of not believing, what did God do? Took his voice. He couldn't speak. Could I tell you how long he couldn't speak? He couldn't speak for 9 months. 9 months. Now, does that ring a bell to a woman who's going to have a baby? Sure does. Well, that's exactly what happened. For 9 months, he couldn't speak. So he went home to his elderly wife, and she conceived shortly after that. Say amen. Amen. That's the word of God. Do we believe that these things happen? It's not a fairy tale. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. When he went home, she conceived and was going to have that child. So Gabriel had given out that announcement, and it happened. Gabriel wasn't through. Gabriel immediately went and gave another announcement. Now, remember, we have an old woman here, and I think that song mentions, or somebody about, is it a teenager? That song says she's a teenager. That's what Mary was, you know. So we have an older woman and a teenager. So Gabriel's busy going and talking to old people about having babies, and he's talking about young people about having babies. Hey, like that. These weren't just babies. There's a song here because of what God had been doing and planning for a long time. Now it's coming to be. And so when he got around to Mary, he went and he made an announcement. This very young woman, this teenager, was going to have a baby. When he made that announcement, from that moment on, Mary might not have known it immediately, but she had a song too. And she was going to sing it. And that's when we get in to the song. Somebody's pencil. Let's get into it, okay? So when Mary was told this, she was shaken. She was a teenager. Keep that in mind. She was a teenager. And she was told that she was going to conceive and bear a child, and she had problem after problem because she wasn't supposed to be having a baby out of wedlock. That couldn't happen. And she was struggling with this. She needed to talk to somebody. Well, let me show you what God did. I want you to look up at verse 36, if you will. Verse 36 says, "And behold," here's the angel talking to Mary, "and behold thy cousin Elizabeth." I want you to look at Elizabeth. "She hath also conceived a son in her old age." Mary didn't believe this was going to happen at this time. "And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." Now, from the moment that that was said, Mary began to believe what was going on. And I realize that some folks believe a little quicker than others. If you're closer to God, you're going to believe quicker. If you want to be quicker at believing him, get closer to him. Read his word daily. Have a prayer life daily. Don't fail to be with your brothers and sisters in worship service. All these things will grow you. Please do that. Get to know him, and I promise you that when he says something is going to happen, you'll believe him. So the angel gave her a hint on who to go and get counseling from. He knew she was going to need to talk to somebody. So she went to Zachariah's house. Not really. She went to Elizabeth's house. Now, I know the Bible says Zachariah. She went to Zachariah. We'll say she went to Zachariah. She didn't go to Zachariah because, you see, the Lord didn't set her up to talk to Zachariah. Zachariah was a preacher. He didn't know a thing. By the way, he didn't have a child. He didn't know a thing about children. He didn't know a thing about childbirth. This little young lady needed to talk to a woman who was going through the same thing. That's what she needed. If you want people to come to you for counseling about something, get to know the Lord better, because we can't give them our own personal counseling. We've got to give them what God has given us. Amen. And so God had already touched Elizabeth's life and put her in a place where she could give counseling to Mary. So she went to Zachariah's house, but he couldn't talk. So no use in talking to a person who cannot talk. Right? And probably didn't know sign language either. So he couldn't talk. So she talked to the one that God had sent her to see. She talked to Elizabeth, the one who had already been singing. I love to talk about singing to people who sing. That's why I love talking to this whole congregation. Because every one of you sing. I look at your faces. When you come in on a Sunday morning and you hit me on the back and say hello like Mel did this morning when he came in, and I didn't have time to talk to Mel. I love Mel. He's a good one. But I know you. I don't think there's a person in here this morning that I don't know your face or know your name, or some of you I know better because I've been around you a long time. But I know this is a congregation of music, not just that we play instruments and sing, but that we have the Spirit of God strumming our hearts. And when he strums our hearts, we can put some words to it, I promise you. He'll give you the words to put to it. So anyway, Mary goes to Elizabeth and she talks to her. Well, Mary began putting the verses together when she went in. And when she went in and spoke, John, who was Elizabeth's son, still in her womb, leaped. Now, when this happened, this was not some kind of a magic show. This was not some kind of a mythical Power Rangers thing. We talked about this morning, so it came to my mind. That's not what this is. This actually happened. When she talked to her, John leaped in her womb. Well, when he leaped in her womb, the Bible says she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but when the Holy Spirit moves on you and he moves inside you and you know that it's him and no one else, you're going to know exactly what's happening. I'm not telling you certain things will happen. You'll know when it happens. You'll know when you're overwhelmed with a love for the Lord that you just cannot explain. You can't maybe talk about it, but you can sing. Mel Tillis couldn't talk hardly, but he could sing without stuttering. And I promise you, when God gives you that, you won't stutter. You'll sing. He'll give you a song that you can sing yourself. So Mary began to sing. Now, if you will, look at verse 42. Because verse 42 begins what's going on. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And this is why Mary could sing, because of what Elizabeth was seeing, what Elizabeth was knowing. And by the way, when you read this and you read every one of those ands, we call it the mayonnaise on the sandwich, because it's what makes it complete. And when you read every one of these ands, the idea that it just gave you stops right there and another one starts. They don't blend in. It's another reason why. He says, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women." Good, right there. Stop it. "And blessed is the fruit of thy womb." This is why Mary could sing, folks. Because Elizabeth saw what Mary probably couldn't even see at the time. Because Elizabeth had already been touched by the Holy Spirit of God, and this was where she was. "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me?" Whoa, she's seeing something even different there. The world won't see what you see when you sing. Sometimes I feel like I have to say that again. I don't think I can. The world don't have to see what you see when you sing. But they'll see what comes from your life about what you're singing. So if that song inside you is so strong and so overwhelming and the love for the Lord is so big, I promise you the world will see it in you. And they'll hear the song one way or the other. So she needed confirmation and she got it. She got it. And this was how she got it. This was the confirmation she needed. It was the instant when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary and John leaped in her womb. The title of the message today is and was "A Song to Magnify the Lord." Mary now begins the song of magnifying the Lord. During this Christmas season, if we would sing a song from our hearts, our lives, that magnifies the Lord, it would be so good. I did this. The Lord just gave this to me earlier this morning, and I did it because I wanted to give it to you. So I'm going to give it to you now. if that's okay with you. I know you know what magnify means. I know you do, because you've probably got a magnifying glass at home where you can see smaller things in larger print, right? But that's not where this magnifier goes. Completely, I'll put it that way, completely. Magnify, to magnify, is to praise or render honor to God. That's to magnify God. Now, when you do that, you can't make God bigger than what he is. He is what he is. He's already big. It's just that you magnify him among a people who don't see him the way they need to see him. To a lot of people, God is not even there. He's so small, he's not even seeable. So we need to magnify him to this world so they can see him. How are we going to do that? The same way Elizabeth did, the same way Mary did, just by singing a song about the truth of what God has done in our lives. Elizabeth sang it because she saw what God was doing in Mary's life. And by the way, the best thing ever happened to Elizabeth was inside Mary. Bring him into focus. We know that's what magnifying does. No matter what the circumstances are in your life, no matter what you're going through this morning, you get your mind off your circumstances and you magnify him by giving thanks about what God has been to you. That's how you magnify him. Instead of magnifying our problems, let's magnify who the Lord is. Have you ever heard the saying, with him all things are possible? Without him, nothing's possible. That's how big he is. That's how big he was to Elizabeth, and that's how big he is to Mary. Verse 46 says, and Mary said, I don't know how this song started. I don't have a tune for it. I couldn't give you a tune. But boy, when I read, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I don't need to know if it's in the key of G or E or A or B. I don't need to know that. I don't need to know anything except that my soul, what he gave me, what I am, magnifies him. Amen. That I can go out to a world this Christmas season and let this world know that Christmas is not somebody in front of a store ringing a bell getting donations. I'm not against that. I'm just telling you the things that we look at. The stores with all their glitter and gold and colors. The good deeds done by people who hardly ever do anything year round, but they'll do it at Christmas. I don't want you to see Christmas just like that. I want you to do some good deeds. I want you to do everything good you can, but if you're going to do it, who are you going to magnify? You're going to magnify him, or is it just the group you're doing it with? Is it the club that you work for or the things you do? No. Let's never do anything that we don't give him praise and glory and honor for it all. Let it come from inside the soul he gave you. So as Elizabeth's voice went away and it faded out, Mary's voice came in. Can you hear it? Can you hear what Elizabeth was singing and then how Mary came in to sing? Well, let's see what she's singing about. This song was personal. It was so personal. And if the song's not personal to you, it won't be personal to anybody else. They won't get it. Because she said, My soul. I want you to see your soul. I want you to feel your soul, the soul God gave you. My soul doth magnify. By the way, that word doeth or doth, whichever way you want to say it, is a continuation of magnifying. It's not just a one-time magnifying. You can't just go out today and magnify him and tomorrow let it go. It's a continual magnification. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to magnify him every day of our lives. because she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord himself, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She stepped it up a notch right there. Did you catch that? Let's read it back. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my what? Oh, that wasn't just her child now. She needs a Savior. She sees the need of a Savior, not just to be the mother of the Son of God who was coming in this old world. She needed that same Savior that everybody else did, because she was the same people as we are who came from Adam. She was no different. Don't put her on a high. I was looking at some things this morning, and it talks about how that they have this special service in Catholicism where they magnify Mary and Joseph. I appreciate Mary and Joseph, but I love my Lord, and I know that my Lord came by way of Mary and Joseph. By way of Mary. Joseph was just a guy who hung around. Bless his heart. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Oh, you want to do it louder? Well, then let's do it louder. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Is he? Is he great to you? Then let's go tell him. Well, that was just the beginning of her song here. She needed a Savior, and when she did, I couldn't help but remember the song that we used to sing years ago. Nobody sings it anymore. It's oh what a Savior, oh hallelujah. Y'all know how it goes. And when that old song was sang, people got to seeing it just visually, because the people who were singing it felt it. If he's that kind of Savior to you, say, oh what a Savior, oh hallelujah. He's mine, and he can be yours. He can. Now, not only was it personal to her, but then it becomes practical for her, because she was a godly Jewish woman. Some would even call her a child, because she was a young teenage girl. And we have some teenage girls here in our congregation, some wonderful teenage girls and teenage boys in our church, and I love every one of them. But this young Jewish woman was a child from fallen Adam, just like you and I are, just like everybody else is and was and will forever be. But the thoughts of God's mercy on her, she didn't deserve this, to be this special person. God, just by his mercy, used her to bring his son into this old world. And he did that. And when she saw that mercy and it stirred her soul, she began to see how wonderful he is, how majestic he is, how he needs and deserves the glorification that comes from earth to heaven. He came from heaven to earth. We need to go to him with glorifying him for everything he is to us. His strength for us to get through our days. Do we ever glorify him for that? I don't know about you, but there are days in my life when I don't know what I'm going to do. Sometimes you hear that old statement, I just want to throw up my hands and quit. Y'all don't believe I ever do that, do you? No. Say no. Because that's the way you see me. What you don't see are the days that I am so overwhelmed with things to do that I just say, I can't do this anymore. I'm being honest with you. I can't do this anymore. Then I remember, it's not about me. And it's not about my power to continue. It's about his power to continue through me. So I get back to where I belong, where I need to be, and that is expecting him to work through me, and he does. Well, God was working through Mary. Mary wasn't the whole one here. God was working through her. This godly young woman was looking up and thanking God for his strength, for his ability to exalt those of low degree. When he saw people who were poor and needy, he came in and make them feel like something that they couldn't feel like. Do you ever go to school wondering, well, some of you don't remember going to school probably. Do you ever go to school wondering why you have hardly anything and other kids have it all? Did you ever get there? Well, back in our day, it wasn't a big factor. We might notice it, but we didn't make anything of it because that was just the way it was. Nowadays, there's kids who will make a whole lot of it. Just be who you are. Mary would just need to be who she was, and God was going to use her. Well, she did see that God was able to come down and see those people who had nothing and make them feel like they had it all. God can make you feel like you have it all. Verse 54 and 55, he says this. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. She realized that she was not just a Jewish woman, but that God had brought the light of this world in through her. That's what she was recognizing. Everything she was. Two women, old and new, young. Old and young. They could have sang a duet like Lacey and Lene. Their old voice and young voice would have blended perfectly because their song was basically the same. They were magnifying God. When we come into this house to worship, we come in to magnify God. Let's do it. Let's bow our heads. Zechariah couldn't come in and sing because he had no voice with Elizabeth, his wife. But in his heart, he was seeing things that would create a song. I got a feeling that after the 9 months when John was born, he had a song to sing. I believe he sang it. And I believe when you see the song in your life, when you know how wonderful God is in your life, you'll sing the song and you'll begin to tell others about how good he is, how wonderful he is, how great he is. Lord, we thank you for your scriptures today. We thank you for the story of Elizabeth and Mary and Zechariah. We thank you, Lord, for all of these. Lord, we thank you more than anything for our Savior, the Savior of the world, Jesus. And as we go out from this building today, Lord, I pray that we'll speak the name of Jesus everywhere we go. And let everybody know how wonderful he is. Magnify. Oh, to magnify. And we'll give you glory and praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a time of decision right now. You may have come in this building not knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. Why don't you stand to your feet right now? And if everybody would just sing along with this song, what is it? Page 228, if you'll turn there, we'll sing a verse of this song. And if you need to make a decision for salvation, you can do that today. I can't think of a better time than Christmas time to give your heart and life to the Lord. Can't do it. Now I say to you, church, go out and sing today. And then when tomorrow comes, if the Lord allows you to wake up and see tomorrow, sing tomorrow. The next day and the next day and the next day. We continue to sing. There is no stopping place in the song. It's on repeat. Y'all know about repeating? It's on repeat. Let's repeat and go sing. Amen. Yes, ma'am.